The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Is somebody happy to be in God's presence tonight? Come and shout hallelujah.
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 I want to thank God first for the great privilege He has given to me to be standing in front of great men and women. I give God all the glory. Also, I appreciate the set man of God in this ministry. Papa, let us appreciate him. Let us glory, let us appreciate him. Let us clap for him. And also, I appreciate Mama. Mama, I appreciate you, Ma. Like Pastor Moshebu used to say that she's his teacher. And I believe she's also my teacher also. Now, tonight, without wasting much time, we'll be looking at a topic titled Positive Changes Via Hope. Positive Changes Via Hope. Positive Changes Via Hope. Now, tonight, I'm not going to be defining what positive changes is, because the man of God and minister told us they already did that. So I'll just go straight to define what hope is. And I have some definitions of hope here. Now, the first one says, hope is a feeling of expectation. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. Hope is a feeling of trust. Also, hope is a feeling of trust. And number three, hope is a confident expectation. Hope is a confident expectation. Now, we must realize that there's a difference between hope and wishing. When you wish for something, it's different from when you have hope. Let me use the instance of a football match. If somebody is maybe a Madrid fan, for instance, for those people that watch football, and you sit down to watch the ball, you don't know the scores yet, you're not sure of the scores. You can only sit down and wish, I wish that Madrid will win this match 3-0. That is not hope. You are just wishing. Hope is not folding down your hands and just say, let me just wait for anything to happen. Anything that happens, I will receive it. That is not hope. Just because people say, I hope that this will happen, that is not the way hope is in the spiritual realm. That is hope in the physical realm. I hope that this will happen. And you just fold your arms and just wait for it to happen. No, in the spiritual realm, it is different. When you say hope, you already believe it has happened. That is what hope means. You believe that it has already happened. Now, you hope for things that you have not yet seen. That is hope. You hope for things that you have not yet seen. After, what's the use of hoping for something that you have already? You have a television in your house, and you sit down in your house, you look at the TV, and you say, God, I hope I have TV. And the TV is staring right in front of you. You know, it doesn't make sense, because the TV is right there. So it means that the time you are supposed to excite your hope is when you have not seen it. Now, I'm sure you are beginning to look at it that hope is like faith. But there's a difference between hope and faith. They are almost the same thing, but there's a difference between hope and faith. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. Now it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now you can see the Bible didn't say faith and forgot about hope. It first said faith. Then it went to hope. And finally it went to charity or love. And it said that love is the what? Greatest. Now, I want to believe that these three things were arranged in an ascending order. Because when you have faith, you believe that something will happen. And that faith makes you to hope. Because faith is believing and hope is persisting. When you have faith, you believe. But when you have hope, you persist and persist and persist no matter how long it's going to take, because you believe that it is going to happen. So in other words, hope comes from faith. Now, when you have faith, and that faith has developed into hope, definitely you must have loved God. Because you can't have faith in God, and you can't have hope in God if you don't love God. And God has said that, how can you love Him if you don't love man? So it means for you to have loved God, you have also loved man. So it means that love is just like the summary of everything. Once you love God, you have loved man, you have had faith in God, and you have also had hope in God. So that verse has distinguished between having faith and having hope. When you have faith, you believe that something will happen. Now, when you have hope, you are persisting because of that belief that you have. You don't stop because of whatever is happening around you. You persist because you believe that it is going to happen. That is what hope is. Now, it says that hope is a confident expectation brought about by faith. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Hope is looking to the reality of the future. That's why the Bible says that hope cometh by what? Hearing the word of God. Now, what happens when you read the Bible? You read what has happened to gain faith, to believe what will happen. So now, when you read the Bible, you get faith. And that faith makes you to get hope in believing what is going to happen. Please, did you get that? You read the Bible to read what has happened. Those things that have happened stir up your faith to have hope. And hope is believing what has not happened and persisting towards it because you believe that it is already done. Now, faith makes you believe and hope makes you persist. You persist because you have hope. Now, it says that Christian hope is rooted in faith. And I wrote down that faith is a fertile ground on which hope thrives. It means that faith is like the foundation of hope. So without faith, there won't be hope at all. So the first level of hope is faith. After faith, then develops into hope. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I have written down here some benefits of hope. Benefits of hope. That is, what do we stand to gain when we have hope in God? The first thing here is, hope maketh not ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. Let's open our Bibles to Romans 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans 5, verse 5. And it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, when you have hope, you can't be ashamed. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to use the example of a football match again. Now, supposing you have the opportunity to go into the future and watch a particular match. Let me say Champions League. I'm using that because Champions League is two legs. You play the first leg and you play the second leg. The after the two legs, you now determine the winner. And you've gone into the future and you've seen the scores. In the first leg, they beat your team 10-0. But in the second leg, your team won 11-0. That is, you won on aggregate. Now, if you now come back to the present and that match is going on, and first leg happens, they beat your team 10-0, and people are abusing you. Ah, Mr. Man, that your team no make sense at all. Ah, are you going to be ashamed? No, you'll be right there. Ah, don't worry, just wait for second leg. Why? Because you're already sure that second leg, you win 11-0. Now, the reason is because you believe and you have hope. Why? Because you have seen the scores. Now, let me tell you, most of us as Christians, we are supposed to have seen our future. And by now, we should be having hope on what our future is supposed to be like. Not that we are still hoping, God, oh, please, oh, how will my future be? No. You should have already seen your future. And now, you just believe what your future is. And you have that hope in God. And persisting towards God, because that future is coming to pass. That is the way it is supposed to be. That is the right routine. So, hope maketh not ashamed. No matter what people say, you are not ashamed because you know what the end is going to be. So, you are not even ashamed. Instead, you tell them, just wait. Just wait and you see. So, hope maketh not ashamed. Now, the second benefit of hope. Hope is the gateway to answered prayers. Hope is the gateway to answered prayers. Now, I'll be looking at the story of Hannah. Now, we all know the story of Hannah, that she didn't have a child and she prayed to God and God gave her a child. But I want to tell you something, that it is not just because of the prayer that made her get a child. She prayed, yes, but she also persisted as a result of her hope, which was brought about by her faith in God. Now, let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, let's go to verse 7. Now, verse 7 says, "And as he did so year by year." And, okay, let me start from verse, verse 7. "And as he did so year by year." That was talking about Hannah's husband. That she was always, he was always going to Shiloh year by year. Now, that was her husband. Now, coming to Anna. Now, I want to read verse 12. "And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Now, there's a reason why they have to specify that she continued praying. Now, I want to believe that all the other years that Anna had been coming to that Shiloh, she had been praying for some particular amount of minutes. Let's say 15 minutes, I'm assuming. And every year she comes, she's always praying for that 15 minutes. But that particular year, she decided that I must have a change of story. And she did what? She continued beyond that 15 minutes. Instead of praying the usual 15 minutes that she had been praying, she continued beyond that 15 minutes. I believe what the Bible said, that "and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord." For her to have continued praying means that there's a reason why they put it there. They should have said, "And she was praying before the Lord, and Eli saw her while she was praying." But they said, "And it came to pass as she continued praying." What that means is that it is the continue there that made her get a child. She continued praying. She didn't stop just because I'm really tired. How many years will I wait? So let me just stop. But she continued. She persisted as a result of her hope in God. Because eventually she must have believed that I have faith and I have hope in God. And I believe that I'm going to get this child. So why don't I persist and persist? And she persisted and she got a child. So it was because of her persistence that God granted her a child. Now also, number 3, benefit of hope is joy and happiness. Joy and happiness. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 146, verse 5. Psalms 146. Verse 5. And it says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord is God." Whose hope is in the Lord is God. Now we can see that this is a very, very clear English. Whose hope is in the Lord God. It means when your hope is in God, what will be the result? You have joy and what? Happiness. Now if you read the story of Anna and read down to 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's just read verse 1. And let's see what has happened to Anna. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Now it reads, "And Anna prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoiced in the salvation." Now, just in chapter 1, Anna was crying and she was sober. But because of her hope and her persistence in God, all of a sudden in chapter 2, she's already saying, God, I thank you. I'm happy. I am rejoicing. Why? Just because she persisted with God just because she had hope in God. Now, you can't have hope in God and not rejoice. If you are sure it is God that you have hope on, there's no way you won't rejoice. The end product of having hope in God is joyousness. So there's no way you say you have hope in God and that you won't be joyful. It's a lie. As long as your hope is in God, you will be joyful. Hallelujah. Now, number four, benefits of hope. Number four, it moves forces around you to help you. It moves forces around you to help you. It moves forces around you to help you. Now, if we noticed in the same story of Hannah, in verse 13, she continued playing and praying. It was when she continued praying that Eli spotted her and said, look at this woman. What that means is that if she had stopped where she usually stopped and she didn't continue, Eli would have looked at her side and he wouldn't see her praying. She would just be sitting down normally. And he wouldn't even bother to go and ask her, madam, what's wrong with you? Are you drunk? It means that it was her persistence that made Eli to see her and say, what's wrong with this woman? And he walked up to her. And that was how she got a miracle. So what that means is that hope makes, when you have hope in God, it makes forces around you to want to help you. That is one thing that hope does. Now, number five, benefits of hope is that it spurs you to pray. It spurs you to pray. It spurs you to pray. One of the signs of hope is violent prayers. Why? Because you know this is the result, and this is where you are. So it means that there is still a long way for you to go to get to where you are supposed to be. So you won't relax and fold your arms as long as you know where you are going to. So when you have hope, it makes you pray violently. It doesn't make you at ease because you know where you are going to. Because you know where you are going to. Now, I want us to know that there is no situation that is hopeless. As long as you have God, there is no situation that is hopeless. If you think your situation is bad, someone is going through worse. So don't ever think that this situation does not have solution, so there's no need for me to put it before God. That's a lie. You know, when I was in school, there was one boy. There's one song that I used to sing. And then when he sings that song, we just start laughing. And you know, then that song didn't really have any meaning to me. You know, but now, when I sing that song, it makes a lot of sense. So this is what this guy was trying to say. Now, let me sing the song. It says, I was complaining, I have no shoe. I was complaining, I have no shoe. Till I saw someone without leg. Hallelujah. Now, the story is that there's a guy who has been complaining that, my situation is bad. I don't have shoe. I don't have slippers. I don't have this. And I was busy complaining. When will I get shoe? When am I going to get slippers? And he saw somebody that doesn't even have leg. And that person is thanking God. God, I thank you. Though I don't have leg, but I have hand. I have eyes that I can use to see. God, please, even if you give me just one leg, I don't need you. You know, and I look at his own, I won't have two legs. Why am I complaining? Hallelujah. So, that means that he saw that, he thought his situation was bad. But he saw a worse situation. I now realize that it's like my own is even good. Now, I don't want us to wait until we see a situation that is worse than ours before we thank God for where we are and have hope that it's going to get better. Let us know something that is worse first before we now have hope in God and say, I thought my own was bad, but now I've seen something that is worse. There is no situation that is worse. Now take us to the story of Ezekiel. Now in that story, when he was in the valley of dry bones. Now, God wanted to liberate the children of Israel. But their situation then was like a no-hope situation. It was like a hopeless situation. Now, that was why God had to take Ezekiel into a situation that looked hopeless. And there was a miracle. Please, I want us to read that in Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Hallelujah. Now just continue from, I'll start from chapter 9. Now Ezekiel was in the valley, and God told him to do all these things. Then he said unto me, prophesy. Okay, this is not where I should start. Okay, let me start from verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? It means that God knew that any normal human being, as far as you are a man, by the time you see that situation, you know that this thing is not possible. But that is what man is thinking. It is not your business what men think. As long as God said it can happen, that is the most important thing. And Ezekiel is a very wise man too. In his mind, he was thinking, ah, this thing is not possible. But he didn't want to utter it out that, ah, God, it's not possible. Look at what he told God. He said, God, you are the only one that knows. It means he was not trying to tell God, ah, God, it's not possible. But he just told God, ah, he should know. If he says it's possible, I believe. If he says it's not possible, I believe too. Now in verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause bread to enter into you, and you shall live. That is bones that are dried. It's not Lazarus. Lazarus had flesh in his body. And he was ready. This one, they are bones, skeleton. And as I'm looking around now, I'm not seeing any skeleton here. So it means that there's no situation that is worse than this, because there's no skeleton here. Now, he says, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause bread to enter into you, and you shall live. Now, verse 6, I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and convert you with, and cover you with skin, and put bread in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, that's Ezekiel, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to bone. That's verse 7. Please, this does not make sense. This, humanly speaking, does not make sense. These are probably humans that already decayed, and just remaining bones. And these bones have been shattered about. And these bones, just with word, bones arrange yourself, and they started coming together. They arranged themselves, and they stood straight, waiting for the next command. Now look at verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. That is, the bones were standing, and flesh from nowhere just began to come upon them. And the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and bread upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the bread came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now look at verse 11. Look at what God said there. God said, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. It means that Israel was in a state of no hope. Any man that had seen the state of Israel at that point, we say, Israel has no hope. So he was telling Ezekiel that, look at this situation that you saw now. I believe in your heart, when you entered there, you thought there was no hope. But now, do you believe there's hope or not? I'm sure Ezekiel would have said, yes, I believe. Now he was telling Ezekiel that these bones are the old house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried. That is what Israelites were saying, that our situation is worse. There is no way forward. Our bones are already dry. And our hope is lost. Can you imagine? Our hope is lost. Let me tell you, once you don't have hope, there's no life again. Because life itself is hope. So it means when they say their hope is lost, it means at that point they were not even living. Hope is what lost. We are cut off for our paths. Then the Bible says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. It means at that point they were like dead people. And God was saying that, I will open up your graves and cause you to come out or to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. It means that they were dwelling in that land, but they were not yet in the land. They were in the grave because they didn't have hope. So he said that once that hope is rekindled, we have to bring them out from the grave and not take them to the land of what? Israel. Though they were dwelling in Israel, but they were not dwelling in Israel because they didn't have hope. So what that means is that sometimes when you don't have hope, you might be in a place and there is surplus and you'll be lacking. You might be in a place, good things are happening, but bad things are happening to you. Why? Because you don't have hope. That was what was happening to the people of Israel. They were staying in Israel, but they were inside the grave. Because of just one thing, they did not have hope. They did not have hope. Now, I don't know what anybody here is passing through, but I'm very sure it's not as worse as this. It is not as, I don't know if there's worse tests. It is not as worse test as this. So it means that if a situation like this can still be jacked back to life, then I don't know what you are passing through that will make you to just put your hands here, my situation is lost, and let me just sit down. This situation has no hope. Because from my own point of view, the worst and the most hopeless situation is death. Once you are dead, what hope do you need again? But yeah, people that were dead still came back to life. In fact, this one, they've already decayed. These were dry bones. They still came back to life. So what are you now passing through that you now say that God cannot cause a turnabout in your situation? All it takes is hope. As long as you hope in God, God will definitely do something. God will definitely what? Do wonders. After all, God has said that once you have faith, you'll be able to do what? Move mountains. Now, let me tell you something. There's nobody in this world that will truly go to the front of a mountain and say, mountain, move. It's not possible. Nobody in his right senses will do that. That is just a figure of speech. Telling you that what looks impossible and what looks foolish, God is going to do it. Because God, why would somebody walk to a mountain and say, mountain, move? Number one, that is foolishness. And number two, for the mountain to move is an impossibility. So it means that once you have faith, things that people are looking at, is this possible? This is foolishness. So this guy has only two C's in his own level, and he's working in Shell as a director. He didn't even go to university. Are those people foolish? How did they employ him? Can you see what's happening? Now, that is faith. Now, that faith, as that faith grows, like I've said before, it now brings about hope. Because you believe that that is what will happen. And you walk towards that belief that you have. Like in one of our sales, my sales was saying that himself and the Holy Ghost wrote down his future. So it means that he and Holy Ghost were sitting down and he was writing, Holy Ghost, let's talk. My future, I will be this. Holy Ghost writing it down. So it means he already knows his future. So there's no what allows you to be afraid of what is going to happen. All you have to do is just to persist, believe in God, and just persist. Persist and persist and persist, and let me tell you, the results will come. As I round up, I remember a story that Papa gave us one time. That he was in his prayer room and he was praying. And one of his son came and his son was knocking. Boom, boom, boom. Daddy! Boom, boom, boom. And he kept knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. But the door was not opened. He still did not live there. Now, I believe why he didn't live there is that he believed that our father is hearing me. Definitely, he will still open this door. So I must stay here, even if I'm going to grow old here. Because do you know why? He knows that he can't grow old there because he knows that daddy will definitely open the door. That is the hope that he has. In fact, he already seen the future and he knew that he will open the door. That was why he stood there. And he waited, and let me tell you, the door was opened. The door was opened, and he saw Daddy. Hallelujah. Now, on the final note, I just want to tell us that there's no situation that is impossible. As long as you have hope. And that hope is going to cheer you to pray violently. Now, I don't know what you are passing through, but if I were you tonight, I wouldn't bother who is by my side. I'll just focus on God. And focus my hope on God. And pray violently. Concerning any situation that looks like a dry bone situation. Hallelujah. Please, I don't know, is somebody ready to pray tonight? Is somebody ready to pray tonight? Hallelujah. Please jump up our feet.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road in Loring. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.